Gorgeous, isn't it? Sam Fender, Wild Grey Ocean. It's playing on BFBS. It is totally connected with Joe. Hope you're doing all right today, wherever you find yourself around the forces world. Thursday, 5th of March, we'll do some throwback Janet Jackson in a few. And that really, really stunning new tune from Arlo Parks. It's called Two Sided. It's on the way in a bit. A bit of a serious one today. Obviously, there is no getting away from it. The world is a scary place at the moment. Being part of the military community means, I guess, we're more exposed to the news than most are. But let's face it, if you and I are finding it tough to get our heads around, imagine how it must be for youngsters. I'm joined today on the show by Dr. Sheila Redfern. Sheila, hello. How are you?
Hello, I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Sheila, you are a clinical psychologist. And basically, I wanted to get you on the show today because I know you've done work in the past about sharing news and sharing difficult news with children. So I wanted to get your take on this. How do you think that parents of young people who are probably curious about everything they're hearing, maybe in the headlines or maybe overhearing from their mates, how do you think we should be approaching this with our youngsters?
The first thing that's important to say is that it really depends on the age of your child. Of course, many people will have a range of ages in their family. But the first thing I think for parents to think about is what is appropriate for my child's age. So let's say we're thinking of the reaction of a very young child. Behaviour is communication more than words in a young child. So, you know, a child that maybe becomes very clingy or can't sleep suddenly or is engaging in what we'd call magical thinking, which is when children kind of invent scary explanations to kind of fill the gaps in their knowledge. Those are things for parents to look out for. But also in terms of what parents communicate, it's really important for that age group that the parent communicates how much they are a place of safety, that having your parent there by your side is what's mainly keeping you safe, as well as other people in the world, like, you know, armies and, you know, politicians who are hopefully trying to keep us all safe. And so kind of keeping things pretty normal in the family, making sure that routines are still stuck to and that there are things that help keep very young children safe, like a kind of teddy at night time or a sort of light in the room, that all of the things that would normally be reassuring to children. So for the younger children, it's less about the conversation and more about the behaviours. For adolescents, it's quite a different thing because, of course, what we know about teenagers is that, you know, they scroll, there's a digital overload, they're getting news updates often before their parents are even getting them. And some of that news won't be real news. You know, we know all about fake news and we know that news can come via, you know, apps and platforms that we can't as parents control. And there are images there, sometimes without words. And those are the things that I think are quite dangerous for young people because they might see an image that's been particularly manipulated on, you know, a social media platform that actually their parents don't know about. So the important thing for parents of teens is to try not to control, but to try to connect. Because short of taking, you know, digital devices off teenagers, you know, if parents can't do that, which probably is not realistic, then what they should really do is try and connect with them. So watch it together. You know, try and get into regulating a little bit of what your teenager watches and understanding what they watch by sharing it with them. Mm. It's worth just explaining that if you look at these images, you're likely to get more of those images. And of course, you know, the classic doom scrolling can then lead to all sorts of problems of sort of irritability, anxiety, and things that, you know, feel very worrying for parents of teenagers. So I think it's about not controlling, but connecting when it comes to teenagers.
I think the reaction of a lot of parents, you know, quite naturally is to protect, to reassure, to say, yeah, of course, everything will be fine, don't worry. Do you think it's okay to be a bit more vulnerable and say, do you know what? No, I don't know either what the end of whatever it is might be. I'm also frightened for the same reasons you are. Do you think, particularly with older children, it's okay to have that kind of understanding with them?
I do with older children. I think the important bit is what you said just in the last sentence there. I think with older children, it's important to acknowledge the reality, not to sugarcoat it and say everything's going to be fine, but to say, yeah, I'm worried too. But I think the important bit there still, even with older adolescents, is for them to have a sense that their parents are in control of their emotions. What doesn't go down so well or doesn't act as a container for young people's anxiety is where the parents' emotions are out of control. So as much as possible, parents need to self-regulate, which is hard, of course, because we're all worried and we're all anxious and we're all uncertain. But I think you can express those emotions in an honest way.
And I guess to finish off, what would you say is the one piece of advice you would give to any parent listening to this right now who is worried that if they haven't already, they are at some point this week going to be asked by their little ones what's going on?
I think be honest, but also listen to them and try and meet your child or teenager at the level that they're at and don't invalidate that. So if they're anxious, don't falsely reassure and say you don't need to be anxious, but just say that's a normal feeling, that if your body's sort of feeling anxious, that's particularly for young children, that's your body alarm being on, but it doesn't mean you can't calm down, and that their daily routines are extremely important.
Some really interesting stuff to mull over there. Clinical psychologist Dr. Sheila Redfern, thank you so much for joining us on BFBS today.
Thank you.
And of course, as well as the stuff that we've discussed there with Dr. Sheila, there's loads more support available online. We've got a really handy list of websites and phone numbers and stuff available to you right now. And you can find it at bfbs.com/audience support. This is Janet Jackson.